Yeah, we're sitting here just chit-chatting about how crazy this season has gotten, even though we're in the middle of coronavirus, and we are in a, what is it called, a stay-at-home advisory, meaning that it's advised for you to stay home, but they're not making us stay home, so really everybody's out.
Yeah, it doesn't look like anybody is taking heed. They're not heeding the warning. Is that a right way to say it?
That's true. Nobody's really heeding the warning, and then it makes everything crazier. And so we're kind of in this Christmas crazy season where I was just telling Monica that I don't even know what happened last week. It was a blur of busyness. I mean, I could list out to you what I did, but I don't know why it felt crazier than any other week that I've been through.
I think that in this stay-at-home advisory time, it's felt more normal.
Oh, I guess
maybe
you're right.
The rest of the year.
Maybe it just got busier. Mm-hmm. That's right. Maybe we're just doing more.
Well, because all the online shopping's not going to work because the delivery is delayed.
That's
so
true.
We feel like we have to get out there and Christmas.
The U.S. Postal Service is saying the 18th. I would get my gifts out now. If you have to deliver it. But anyway, we want to talk today about something that we both love, and it is cookies. I love a good cookie.
Just like Santa. Santa loves a good cookie.
Do you like cookies?
Yeah, they're all right. I'm an ice cream girl.
Oh, okay.
Cookies are fine. Cookies are good.
I love a good cookie. It has to be good. You can't have an okay cookie. I'm not an okay cookie eater. Like, yeah, these are okay. I'll just eat it. It has to be excellent.
I've never heard somebody have such a high standard for their cookies.
I have a high standard for cookies. I really do.
Because you're not like Cookie Monster.
No, I'm not. But what's your favorite Christmas cookie?
One that somebody else makes.
I'm just kidding.
I think out of all of the Christmas cookies, I think the iced sugar cookie is the best.
Yes. That is a good one. We just made ice sugar cookies. They've never really been my favorite. They have to be perfect. And these ones were not perfect. And so, therefore, I only ate a couple.
It didn't stop you from eating them.
No.
Because they're not perfect.
Well, I made them, but I'm going to fully admit that they're not perfect. My favorite cookie of all time, holiday cookie, I don't eat at any other time of the year, is the peanut butter blossoms, the one with the Hershey Kiss in the middle.
Yeah, I just made some of those the other day for a friend. I'm sorry I didn't bring you any.
Yeah, she didn't bring me any, so I'm kind of sad.
I didn't know that they were your favorite.
But there is a way to completely botch that cookie, and I did it last year. I forgot to put sugar in it.
Wow.
And it really made the cookie taste terrible, even with a Hershey Kiss in the middle of it.
It was probably healthy. It was just a protein ball at that point, right?
That's true. That's true, but it was like made it super duper chalky.
And, I can imagine.
Yeah. So anyway, but that is my favorite cookie. You cannot go wrong if you make me some of those. But do not make them with the peanut butter tube mix. You have to make them from scratch.
Okay. I will keep that in mind.
Just keep it in mind. You know, it has to be perfect, homemade, high standard.
I think if any of our listeners have a high standard blossom, peanut butter, whatever it's called, Hershey Kiss. I never really called it anything.
Peanut butter blossom cookie.
Then if you live in the greater Columbus area.
Send them to me.
Send them to her.
You can log on and ask me for my address. And I will gladly give them to you if you're going to drop off some peanut butter blossom. So
I am not going to reach the bar that she has set for the peanut butter blossom cookie. And I'm okay with that.
So for our next two podcasts, we're going to be talking about the gifts that God has given us through his son, Jesus Christ. And today we're going to be talking about Mary. There's so much that we can learn from her and her life and her willingness to carry the Son of God and to do that excellently as she did. So
She was amazing. Have you ever spent much time really studying Mary?
I have studied her, and I have thought about her a lot, especially lately. And I've thought about all of what we're going to talk about today. I don't want to spoil it.
Right.
So let's get into it, and then we we'll talk about what I think.
I can't wait to hear what you think.
It's not about me. It's about you, too, what you think, too. But
we'll see.
But you just asked, and I said, I don't want to give all of my thoughts before I, you know, before the goodness of what you have prepared today, Monica. So why don't you get started?
Okay. So as we have talked about giving. Let me say that again. So as we have been talking about giving over the last couple of weeks, we've talked about giving cheerfully, sacrificially. We've been talking about giving of our money and giving of our time. But today I thought we could talk about what it looks like to just give ourselves, mm-hmm. just completely give ourselves over to the Lord.
Yes.
And can you think of anyone that is a better example in human form than Mary?
I can. I think the way that she was used by God, obviously miraculous.
Right.
And hand-picked, hand-chosen.
Can you imagine what it must have been like to be her?
When I read this, when I was reading through the notes, I thought about it, and I really can't.
So I never really thought about Mary and what she went through until The Passion of the Christ came out a number
yes.
of years ago.
Uh-huh.
Many, many years ago. I had two young sons at the time, and I watched Mary as she watched him on the cross. And I thought, could I do that?
Mm-hmm.
Could I go through all that she went through and watch one of my sons be brutally beaten, mocked, shamed, and murdered?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it broke my heart.
I don't think I could. I think it would be heart-wrenching to watch mm-hmm. my son die like that.
Right, right. And so I've taken some time to study Mary over the years, and man, she was something.
Mm-hmm.
It was so much more than just watching your son
mm-hmm.
be brutally murdered on a cross. But it's no wonder that she is the most famous woman in all of history. Have you ever really thought about that?
I didn't think about that. In per se, but when I saw it written, I thought, yes, that's very true. I mean, obviously, we have a huge Catholic population mm-hmm. just here in Ohio.
Right.
And how, when I ministered in Mexico, how important, there was all kinds of figures of
right.
Mary, representations of mm-hmm. her in dolls and forms
right.
like that. And though that's not the way that I believe it
right.
to be, she is revered all over the world.
All over the world, yes. I mean, Eve may be more popular, more famous than her, but when you really stop and think about it, she's everybody that knows anything about Christianity at all knows about Mary.
Well, yeah, she's so popular that religions worship her.
Right.
Which is too far, but that is how important she is and how much her story has resonated with people.
Exactly. So I thought today we could look at Luke 1, 26 through 56, parts of it, and a few other passages in the Gospels to learn more about Mary. And I'll just read some of it and we can stop and make some observations. Does that sound good?
Yep, that sounds great.
Okay, so in Luke 1, beginning in verse 26, says, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. No kidding. Right?
I know, right?
Wow. But the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. How will this be? Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin. And the angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who is she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May your word to me be fulfilled. And then the angel left.
Whoa.
Mm-hmm.
That would be a lot to process for me, a 40-something-year-old woman, but a teenage girl. Tradition tells us that Mary was probably 14 or 15 years old.
Yep.
Readings from the ancient scripture, ancient documents have said that she was probably 14 or 15. She was from a poor part of the region.
Mm-hmm.
And
from Nazareth.
From Nazareth.
Can anything good come from Nazareth?
Can anything good come from Nazareth? Right. And she was betrothed. She was already promised to a man to marry.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you think you'd do if an angel came to you and told you he wanted you to be... He's just going to tell you, hey, Mel, God would like for you to be his son's mother.
Yes. I think if I was the teenager that I was then, I mean, I would have totally flipped out and been very dramatic about it. And here we see Mary, very cool, calm, mm-hmm. collected. I don't know. We don't know how she reacted to the angel. It doesn't say a lot about it. But I would be very dramatic about it. I think if I maybe had the right spirit, I would have responded the way that she did. But I don't know if I, as a teenager at that time, I don't know if I did.
I think that what you said right there is if you had the right spirit. Mm-hmm. So we know that for someone to receive this news out of nowhere,
mm-hmm.
that it was the Lord that prepared her heart. Because God doesn't ask us to do something without preparing us.
That's true.
But so we know that the miracles are even so much bigger than what we think of.
How do you think you would have handled it if you think back to Monica at 15 years old?
I would have probably thought it was a dream.
Uh-huh.
That it didn't really happen. And then I would have probably immediately went to what would everybody think?
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
Because especially my 15-year-old self was very concerned about what everybody else thought.
I went to a Christian school. Talk about if you got pregnant in a Christian school. Judgment. People were not kind. People were not kind.
Well, I really can't imagine that people were kind back then. So what that angel was telling her would have been scandalous.
Mm-hmm.
She was about to become pregnant by the Holy Spirit, not by the husband she was legally bound to. What would he think?
Yeah.
Imagine telling your mom.
No, my mom wouldn't have had it. I would have been kicked out. I don't think my mom of today would have kicked me out. I think my mom of then would have kicked me out. It was, even in the 90s when I grew up, that was a huge no-no for a girl to get pregnant out of wedlock. Huge.
But then you say, but mom, it's okay. It's God's baby.
She would have laughed at me.
Right. Who would believe that?
She would say, oh, Melissa, you're just joking. I know it's not God's baby.
So, how would you as a mother, if your daughter came to you and said, I'm pregnant, but it's okay, Mom, it's God's kid.
Well, I wouldn't believe her.
Right.
Right. I mean, I wouldn't.
Right, nobody. And then there's Joseph.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we know from other readings that God graciously, well, he chose Joseph to parent his son as well.
Yeah.
It tells us the character that Joseph had, and the angel came to him as well, we find later in another passage, and said, hey, it's okay, like, this is what's happening to her. It's God's that is doing this. But Mary didn't know that. Imagine thinking of, oh, I'm gonna have to go tell Joseph that I'm pregnant. And the law back then, he had every right to stone her.
Yep. That is crazy. Crazy.
So the potential of what it would have cost her was her reputation,
mm-hmm.
the disappointing her parents,
mm-hmm.
being killed by her betrothed husband, and that's just a start. But what does this young teenage girl say in verse 38? I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled.
Yes. I mean, what a perfect response, mm-hmm. of humility. And you see in this response why God chose her how he prepared her heart to be able to respond in that way. Obviously, in the beginning, he says, do not be afraid. So she must have exhibited some kind of startle.
Yeah. Oh, like she probably wasn't. She was probably just, you know, out minding her own business. Right. Maybe she was milking a goat.
Here's a man.
Maybe she was caring for her younger siblings. Uh-huh. Who knew? And then, poof.
I'm by myself.
I mean,
I'm
not supposed to be
by myself with a man. I'm not supposed to. Or maybe the man was shining. I don't know.
We don't know, but it had to have been startling.
But her end response, when she processes it, you mm-hmm. can see how God has worked in her heart. You can see how she was an obedient servant, a person who mm-hmm. probably knew the scriptures, whose mom and dad were faithful to teach her to have that kind of heart to be able to receive mm-hmm. that word and to trust.
Well, and she didn't say, you know what, I'm going to pray about it.
No. You're right. I'm
going to go pray about it.
Okay.
And let me go ask my girlfriends what they think. Let me go take a poll on Facebook.
That's what we do.
She didn't even go, you know, ask and say, you know what, I'm going to ask my mom if this is okay.
Ask Facebook.
All right.
Should I carry God's son?
Let me go see if Joseph will let me live if I do this.
Right.
She just said, I am your servant, Lord.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And I think a lot of times in this generation, we forget that as Christians, that we are the Lord's servant. Not because he needs servants, but because he chooses us and allows us to be a part of his kingdom.
Yeah. A lot of times I know it's the Lord when I am willing to say yes right away
mm-hmm.
when he asks me something. Now, sometimes I know it doesn't always work that way, but I know that the Holy Spirit is working when mm-hmm. he stops me in my tracks and I just hear his voice kind of echoing and resonating in my heart, and I say yes, right. Like, I will do that. That is something
that
I'll be obedient to.
Well, I think that's a good point, too, that a lot of, if we are in God's word regularly,
mm-hmm.
if we are in intentional prayer without ceasing,
mm-hmm. yeah.
then when we are approached, when we know in our spirit that God is pointing us to do something, we don't really have to stop and keep dragging it on and keep praying and praying. Mm-hmm. We already have been. Our hearts have already been prepared. And we are going to be much more likely to be obedient right away.
Yep.
Not that we shouldn't keep praying through right. the whole process.
Exactly.
But it's about our hearts being prepared along the way, not just when the moment arises, I think.
That's right.
So, I mean, why do you think she responded as she did?
I think, like I said before, there's a history there
right.
of knowing who God is. And I think that's a testament to her parents who taught her
right.
who God is. So what about you? What do you think? What do you think?
Well, I think, you know, we will get into it in a little bit when mm-hmm. we talk about the song that she sang to the Lord. But she knew she could trust God. She mm-hmm. knew the promises.
Yes.
And so she had been taught in her culture and in her family
mm-hmm.
that she knew she could trust God. And I think she responded that way because God chose her.
Yep.
And like we said, that he had prepared her heart.
Yes.
It wasn't like he just kind of randomly chose this young virgin girl. It was very intentional, and she was already prepared to say yes.
Yeah, she was.
And that goes to show you that we as Christ followers, as Christian women and men, that God is preparing us to do hard things.
Yes.
And just when we think that we aren't capable, we aren't on our own, but we are capable through his grace and through his preparation and through his work.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's something that we get lost in this busy, crazy time. I mean, think of all that we've gone through just in this year alone.
Right.
And it's not like this is the only time we've had hard stuff go on.
No, it's not.
No. But just this year alone. But God is merciful. And what was the first thing that the angel said to her? Do you remember? He said, greetings,
mm-hmm.
you who are highly favored.
And that's really cool. I think that would be the best compliment that I would ever get in my whole life.
Right.
If an angel told me that I was highly favored by God.
Well, I'm here to tell you, as a messenger of the Lord, you are highly favored.
Oh, thank you.
But why does he say that she's highly favored? It's not because she did certain things.
That's true.
It was because the Lord was with her.
Mm-hmm.
Through all of this, he's going to ask her to do amazing things that are going to be really, really hard, but she is favored. Do you think that we think of favor in that way sometimes?
Probably not.
Well, I think a lot of times we see favor as when the Lord blesses us with things.
Mm-hmm.
In our culture anyway.
Yes, yes.
So, because we value things so
as
much.
In a prosperity gospel mm-hmm. type of way.
Right. I think we I think that we favor things so much
mm-hmm.
that... when we that's when we see that we're favored, not when God is about to ask us to do something that is going to change our life. It's going to be very, very hard, and but he's asking anyway, and he's saying, I'm with you, and this is what I'm asking.
Yes.
So I think that that's one thing that we really need to remember as we give ourselves fully to the Lord, is that we're favored.
Yes.
No matter what our circumstances, it doesn't. It's not our circumstances that get us there. It's the Lord's favor on our life.
Yeah, we're His children.
We are His children, right? So, moving on, Mary had a lot to lose from an earthly standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
But another thing I noticed is the way that she trusted God, that she had to love Him more than she loved herself.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
And that young heart saw things from an eternal perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And she believed in God's promises.
Yeah, she did. She knew.
Right. You know, Jesus teaches about having a kingdom mindset. All in his earthly ministry, he talks about the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And that we are a part of his kingdom. And mm-hmm. so do we really think about things from an eternal kingdom perspective? I think if we did, it would be easier to surrender our whole life.
Yep, that's true. Mm-hmm.
So, moving on a little later in chapter 1, Mary goes to stay with her cousin Elizabeth that the angel had mentioned, who is pregnant. And we know that Elizabeth was advanced in age and had been barren, but the same angel there promised them a son named John the Baptist, and we don't really get in that too much today, but maybe we should have a whole lesson on John the Baptist at some
point. We should. I'm just sitting here thinking about what advanced in age means here.
Right.
Because I would consider myself advanced in age to have a child. And I know there's
you
people...
are. because I was 37 when I had my youngest son, and I was considered geriatric.
Right, right. So I'm 39. And I'm thinking how I would have been able to do that, because there was such a difference between carrying my oldest in my 20s and my youngest when I just turned 30 years old. A big mm-hmm. difference in how I carried it and how tired I mm-hmm. was. And I can't even imagine. If we can give her a little shout out, I can't even imagine.
Right. I think Elizabeth was so excited to have a child.
Probably.
That she didn't care.
Maybe not. I bet she was tired. Mm-hmm.
She was. She was probably tired. But anyway, so we know that Mary went to be with her.
Uh-huh.
And while she was there, she sang a song of praise. And we've talked about other songs of praise here on the podcast. We've talked about Hannah's song. And we've talked about Deborah's song. And Mary says, I'll just read her song. It says, my soul glorifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. She wasn't kidding.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Generations, mm-hmm. yes, will call her blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has fulfilled, he has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors. Mm-hmm. Now, the first thing I noticed when I read her song was that is a girl who knows God's word.
Right. A girl who's been taught.
A girl who mm-hmm. has been taught God's word. And, you know, schooling wasn't common for the girls mm-hmm. back in ancient times.
That's right.
But she knew God's promises. And I think that was why she was so willing to give herself completely, because she trusted God's promise. She knew that whatever was going to come her way, that God was good. Yep. I think that's one of the things. Do we really know that God is good? Do we remember when things are hard?
Yeah.
So you can't trust God if you don't know him.
That's right.
And I think that that's one of the issues that we have. Like, are we studying God's word? Are we really diving in, not being afraid to pull up our, you know, to push up our sleeves and really get into God's word and dig deep and truly know him? Because you can't surrender your whole heart if you don't know him.
That's true. Yep. You can't.
And the way he has provided for us through to truly know him is through his word. And
we don't have angels coming down like we did then, like they did then. And no. Even then was a rare instance.
Right.
We think that it was a lot because that's how they communicated a lot in the Old Testament. And so you see a lot of communication between God and man, but he doesn't do that like now like he did then.
Right, because he's got his word.
His word. And they didn't have that benefit.
Right.
Except for the Old Testament.
Right. They had the Old Testament and they memorized it.
Mm-hmm.
So, because not everybody had their own copy like we do. I mean, think of where we are today with God's word. We have Bibles in many, many languages. We have the Bible apps for our phones. We have the Bible on the internet. We have God's word at our fingertips anytime we want it. And
they would have loved that.
Yes. But maybe it wouldn't have meant as much to them.
That's true.
Because these people knew it in their heart because they hid it in their heart. They memorized it. Yeah. So what else does the Bible tell us about Mary? I mean, we could go on throughout the whole New Testament because she pops up from time to time.
She does.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think, especially after Jesus began her ministry, I sense that it was very difficult for her. Especially once he started pulling away more and more. You can see him becoming less like a man and more like God.
Well, when they lost him, mm-hmm. when he was 12, and he didn't go back with them from mm-hmm. Jerusalem, and when they realized he was missing and they found him in the temple, and they were like, why did you treat us this way?
Don't you know I should have been about my father's business?
And he was like, it's kind of like, Ma,
right.
Do you remember what I'm supposed to be doing here? But it did say that she treasured those things.
Uh-huh, that's true.
So, you know, I think about, because, you know, she's praising the Lord and singing the song before she has him. I think she and Joseph traveled to Bethlehem for the census while she was very, very pregnant. That journey was like 70 to 80 miles on rocky terrain mm-hmm. when she was very, very pregnant. And then once she got there, there was no room in the inn. She had no midwife.
Nope.
She had no mother to hold her hand. She just had this man that she barely knew, that she'd never been with. She'd never been intimate with. Talk about a first night together.
I was thinking about that. That would have been interesting because having a baby is a very intimate thing. And
right.
There's a lot of sights and sounds, let's just say.
Right.
And to have to put your full trust in someone mm-hmm. who has neither heard nor seen some things
right.
would have been very difficult as a 14-year-old child.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, kudos to Joseph.
Kudos. He probably did a good job.
I think he, you know what, you want to talk about giving your whole self to somebody? I think he probably, you know, he totally surrendered to the Lord as well.
There are certain things that I wish I could see in real time.
Mm-hmm.
That's the panic, the, you right. know, the utter
Where are we going to have this baby?
Uh-huh.
And then
the delivery.
The delivery. And then the shepherds pop up.
It would have been an amazing event.
And then, as a mother, you know, like we said, like she raised the God man.
Mm-hmm. And imperfectly. She raised
right.
him. Imperfectly.
Do you think she treated? Do you think they treated him differently than the rest of the kids?
I will say that I, because she is human and all human, I would say yes. Mm-hmm. He did everything. He didn't make any mistakes.
I mean, we think our little cherubs are perfect, but hers actually was.
Actually perfect. So that would mean that he would say all the right things. Mm-hmm. Do everything that he was supposed to do.
Right.
Do it all
he was
kindly.
Obedient. Yes.
And had the right heart and the right spirit. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, it might have frustrated her sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Right. And, you know, the scripture tells us that his siblings didn't come to know him until after the resurrection. Mm-hmm. So imagine being Jesus' brother.
Yeah.
Or Jesus' sister.
It would have been hard.
Do you think she was like, why can't you be more like your brother?
I'm sure.
Oh, wait, you can't.
I know. I'm sure that those words came out of her mouth, out of Joseph's mouth, out of teachers' mouths, I think. Mm-hmm. He would have been the perfect student. Imagine.
Mm-hmm.
You will never be able to take a Torah class and be top student against Jesus.
Right.
Just can't
happen. But Jesus was also very humble.
Right.
So he didn't, like, rub it in their faces.
Exactly.
Like we would have, probably. Like, look how smart I am.
But that would have made, like, even burned hot in people's hearts as well.
Mm-hmm.
I think because that is who we are as people. We're mm-hmm. wicked and deceitful, and we have sin in our heart. And,
right.
And we're, we are very imperfect. You can't.
I mean, if you think about giving up your authority as a parent.
Yep. That's basically. Mm-hmm. He could have raised himself, literally,
mm-hmm.
and been okay. But obviously, he grew under mm-hmm. the guardianship and guide mm-hmm. of Mary and Joseph.
Yeah.
Well, we don't know how long Joseph was alive for, but...
Right. But we do know that he was he lived long enough to teach Jesus how to be a carpenter.
That's true. That's true.
Mm-hmm. And so, I think all of that, the hardest thing would have been to just watch her son be nailed to that cross.
Mm-hmm.
I think all of the other things that she went through, the scandal, the whispers, the mm-hmm. turning your life completely upside down, would have been nothing compared to watching her son. And, you know, John 19:25 tells us that Mary was at the foot of the cross. So we know that she was there.
And that's where I would have been.
Oh,
too.
Right.
I think
you wouldn't have been able to pull her from there.
And I think any mom can put ourselves in that situation and be like, if he was there and he was dying, that's where I'm going to mm-hmm. be. And because that's where I would be with my child. Like, there's nothing mm-hmm. That would be able to stop me from being
right.
with my child if they were going
right.
through something like that. Even we can even empathize with her on a very small scale whenever our children are sick. You're taking off work days. You
right.
know, you're taking off work. You're mm-hmm. you're at their bedside. You're bringing them drinks and,
mm-hmm.
you know, making the chicken noodle soup or whatever. Or if they're in the hospital, you're by their side. It's very hard to get a mom to leave their child to go take a shower, you know.
Right.
We can all see
mm-hmm.
her desperation and her sorrow.
Right.
And
she knew, you know, when she and Joseph took Jesus to the temple to be dedicated,
mm-hmm.
you know, she was told by Simeon, the prophet that was there, that said, you know, the Lord told him that he would not die until he saw the Savior. And so when Jesus showed up, he knew that that's who that was.
Mm-hmm.
And then they were told that she was told that her heart would be pierced.
Mm.
So she was reminded at his eighth day that she was going, that her heart was going to be ripped to shreds, but he was going to save the world.
So I wonder how long Simeon lasted after that. Was he like, okay, I can die now.
Right.
Bye.
Right. So, you know, and you think too, we dedicate our kids,
mm-hmm.
but do we really dedicate them to that point? Do we truly mean God use them in whatever way that you will to whatever you choose to do mm-hmm. for your glory.
That would be, that it's hard.
I think we mean that we're going to raise them in church. Yeah. We're going to take them to VBS. It's going to be great.
And they're going to live next to us.
And they're going to live next to us. Right.
And we're going to have this perfect family compound mm-hmm. and live right. together and be happy.
Right.
And no problems are going to happen.
Right. Right. That's favor. Right. But, you know, she was reminded right there that being his mom was going to be hard. Mm-hmm. So I think that there are things that we are so afraid of having to face. We panic about things even before they happen.
That's true.
And I think there's things that we think we can't live without. But God would never ask, and we think God would never ask us to do certain things.
He sure would ask us to do anything.
And he sure would. But, you know, if you think, if God asked these things of a poor girl from Galilee, why wouldn't he ask us to do hard things? Mm-hmm. He wants all of us, not just the parts that we want to give him. Not just what we want to give him on Sunday morning. Not a little bit of quiet time here or there. He wants all parts of us.
What if every Christian gave all their parts?
Wow.
I don't know.
Our whole self. What if we gave our whole self?
Every day, in everything that we do, what a life... how many lives would that change right. in our day-to-day?
Well, first of all, we would have to be extremely humble right. to do that. We would have to be okay to disagree on certain things. We would have to be okay with being not loved by mm-hmm. people that love us.
And by the way, being giving your whole self doesn't necessarily mean that you have to work in full-time ministry.
No.
God needs people, especially... everywhere mm-hmm. in every type of job, living out their Christianity in a way that's going to impact right. people who don't know right. him and don't love him. So don't be thinking that you have to get into full-time ministry, because that's not it. That's mm-mm. I mean, great if that's what God calls you to, but
Mary didn't.
Yeah,
Mary was a vessel. She was a vessel to bless the entire world.
So be available for God to use you mm-hmm. all the parts of you. Your whole self.
Your whole self, yes.
In whatever job you're mm-hmm. doing. In right. glorifying and honoring God in that way.
So I think for me, you know, when things get hard, when things aren't, when I'm frustrated, when things aren't going my way, which, you know, happens all the time.
What? You don't get your way every single day of your life?
Well, I am an only child, so I try. I think I deserve it.
Only when I'm at Disney World do things go my way.
Right. But I think that we need to remember that we are called to do hard things. Mm-hmm. And that it's not about our circumstances. It's not about getting credit. It's not about looking a certain way. It's about loving the Lord our God with our whole heart, and then loving our neighbor as ourself. Mm-hmm. So Mary, at 14, 15 years old, loved the Lord with her whole heart. Mm-hmm. And because she loved her neighbor as herself, she was the vessel that God used to bless the entire world for yes. all of eternity.
Amen.
So what can we learn? Be like Mary.
Yeah.
Yeah, be like Mary.
Well, that was great. I thought that was a awesome discussion about Mary, and hopefully a different way to look at it and look at life, mm-hmm. and not revering her in a worshipful way, but in a way that, wow, look at this woman who God used and was open to mm-hmm. being used for him. And we worship God more right. because of what he did through Mary's life.
Well, and another thing is that when we look at Pentecost, mm-hmm. when, you know, after Jesus was resurrected and then ascended to heaven, and then the Holy Spirit came, Mary was there. So Mary went from becoming, being this vessel, being the Son of God's mother, mm-hmm. to Jesus becoming not her son, but her Savior.
Yep. That's something.
That God. Is something.
Amen. So, well, let's go ahead and wrap this up. And the way I thought about doing this, Monica doesn't even know that I'm going to ask this question, is now we are airing this at what is about to be the last week before Christmas, before the week of Christmas.
Before the week.
Did you know that? So by the end of this week, it'll be the week of Christmas.
I don't even know what day it is today.
It's the 13th. Okay. So by the time we've ended this week, we will be rolling into Christmas week. So what do you have to do? Do you still have Christmas gifts you have to get?
I have to buy some presents. I have to hopefully receive some presents. I mean by the UPS. Oh, I'm not talking about buying for me. Of course, I will receive any presents that anyone would like to give me. But I have to receive them in the mail. Then I have, and we're going to, you know, pray, lay hands on the computer, whatever we need to do. And then I have to wrap the presents.
Yes.
I have to mail the Christmas cards.
I always say I'm going to wrap presents before Christmas Eve, and it never happens.
I have to bake the cookies.
Bake the cookies. I have to bake bread. I'm looking forward to that, but... I'm basically this week, the week before Christmas week, I'm doing all the things. Doing last-minute Christmas gift shopping. Mm-hmm. We're doing that today. We're going to be continuing our Advent, because we have to keep our minds on the season. Yes. You know, the reason for the season. We'll be talking about that next podcast. And my biggest worry is, can I find bread flour at a reasonable cost? I don't know.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
What's the difference in bread flour and, like, flour?
It's a finer type of flour.
Is it the same as cake flour?
No. Uh-uh. Cake flour is different. So if you're doing, like, a white bread, then you'd want to have a bread flour that's a little bit finer. But if you're doing a cake, you want to have, it's almost like powder.
I like to bake with the all-purpose flour.
I could, but the bread flour makes the bread fluffier. So if you're going to make a white bread, or you're going to make a biscuit or a roll especially, bread flour is the way to go.
Now, I don't think that we use self-rising flour, I think, to make biscuits.
Okay.
And I come from a biscuits and gravy culture, so...
I don't like using self-rising flour.
I don't think that... I'm sorry that your biscuits aren't as good as my mom's.
They probably aren't. They probably aren't, Susan. Okay, well, you can communicate with us via Facebook or Instagram, or on there under I'll Bring the Bible, and we would love for you to continue to listen. If you haven't listened to any of our other podcasts, go back and choose one that you think you would like. We'd love the interaction. We'd love for more people to listen, and we'd love to hear your feedback. So thank you so much for joining us on I'll Bring the Bible, and we will be tuning in with you next time. Bye.
Bye.